Good morning, everyone. This is the final Sunday of Jump Month. We have been, for the last 4 weeks, jumping together. And the way that we jump and the reason we jump is we are, at this church, about more than simply believing in Jesus. Yes, it's important to believe, but we want to follow him. Not simply believe, we want to follow Jesus. And so for the past couple of weeks, we've been talking about how we can jump from where we are and begin to follow Jesus. And each week we've looked at a particular way to follow Jesus. And it's also during this series that I share with you my addiction to nature shows. I rarely turn on nature shows on purpose. They're always a result of channel surfing because I dislike commercials so very much. And not too long ago, I was watching some TV and commercial came on and a frog. There was a frog, and it wasn't one of these vibrant, colored, hoppy frogs. It was this rather pathetic, ugly, slowly crawling frog. And there's this little pathetic crawling frog that's crawling along the jungle floor. And I've watched enough nature shows to know this will not end well for this little frog. It's not like he's scampering. No, he's slowly crawling. And he's going along, and I just know something's about to pounce. You know, you watch the shows, the music changes a little bit. You know it's going to end poorly. And I start doing the thing where I'm kind of looking in the TV trying to find out, okay, where's the predator coming from, you know? Because I know it's going to happen. But then this little pathetic crawly frog starts to go down a hole in the ground. And now I know this is not going to end well. He has just entered into the dinner zone, you know? And he crawls down into this hole, and sure enough, waiting in the hole is a tarantula. I need you to do this. Put up your hand like this. This particular type of tarantula is larger than your hand. This particular kind of tarantula can eat birds. And the way they do it, it goes, doesn't make that sound, but and then the insides of the animal liquefy, and then he kind of slurpees it, and just kind of, that's how they do it. So the insides get all, and so this little frog, and by the way, do this now. This is about the size of the frog. Okay, and little guy goes in there, and all of a sudden, I don't know how nature shows do this, but the camera's already in there, and you see the shadow of the tarantula on the back of the wall. And I'm having a full Lord of the Rings, Harry Potter moment here, if you know what I mean. And this thing goes, and I'm thinking, here it comes. This is the end of Little Pathetic Frog. And Little Pathetic Frog stops, and I'm thinking, good move, dude. You know? But then it starts going, ribbit, 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 and I'm like, shut it. You know, your only chance is stealth mode, and he starts ribbit, ribbit, as if he's saying, come, feast, you know? And he keeps going, ribbit, ribbit, and then he crawls a little closer to the tarantula, and I'm like, oh, and the tarantula comes out, and I notice around the tarantula are a bunch of baby tarantulas. Okay, I'm not one of those people who freaks out about spiders, but I'm watching this kind of going, and all of a sudden, the big mama tarantula goes up to pathetic crawly frog, picks up one of her legs, and puts it onto the back of the frog. I'm like, oh, you're sick. Because in my mind, I'm thinking, she's pinning it down so that the little guys could come. And I'm like, don't look, don't look, don't look. But you have to look. It's kind of like the accident by the side of the freeway. Don't look, don't look. You know. And then she starts doing this. I'm like, is it just me? Or is she petting the frog? And I'm like, what is going on here? And then she stops and backs up, and he starts hanging out with the baby tarantulas. And it turns out the mama tarantula likes the frog because the frog can eat ants and other insects that eat spider eggs and can kill baby tarantulas. And it suddenly strikes me, the frog is the babysitter. I'm not kidding. It's like, come on in. They're all here. You've got this, okay? And the payment for babysitting duties in the tarantula den is protection. Because what jungle critter is going to go after pathetic little crawly frog in a tarantula den? No one. And I'm watching this whole thing unfold in front of me. I go, ha, that's it. This is what life is supposed to look like. And you might be thinking, we always knew Pastor Mike was going to lose it someday. And it's true. There's a real good chance someday I'm going to completely lose it. But this is not the day. I could not be more serious. This is what life is supposed to look like. Frogs serving tarantulas and tarantulas serving frogs. This is the way we're supposed to interact in life. We're supposed to be caring for one another. We're supposed to be serving one another. And guess what? It works this way. In fact, life works better than when we step into the way that God created us, and he created us to be a serving people. There was a study done a handful of years ago at Stanford University, and it was a study on altruism. And altruism is the act of giving without the expectation of receiving something back. And what they did in this particular study is they had small children and young chimpanzees. And they were measuring the levels of altruism they were seeing in both. And in this particular study, what they discovered was that small children tended to be altruistic. And we always think terrible twos, you know, the kid going mine, 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 and that happens. But watch a small child. They will give without expectation of receiving something back. They tend to be altruistic, selfless. Young chimpanzees, on the other hand, not so much. Young chimpanzees tend to be selfish, less altruistic. But then the researchers discovered that as the chimpanzees got older, they became increasingly altruistic. They became increasingly selfless. And I couldn't help but notice that as humans, the older we get, the less altruistic we get, the more selfish we get. You might go, oh, Mike, that's not true. Look at how humans have responded to the hurricanes. Yes, that's the exception. We notice it because it's different. We tend, as we get older, to become more self-absorbed, less altruistic, less caring. And I'm sitting there looking at the chimpanzees and the humans, and I go, my goodness, it appears when it comes to altruism that chimpanzees are evolving and humans are devolving. We were created to be in the tarantula den. We were created to be a serving people that care for the people around us. The question becomes, how do we do that? The 13th chapter of John is one of my favorite chapters in all of Scripture. If you've got a Bible, I encourage you to open up to John 13. If you don't have a Bible, there's some under the chairs, but also the words are going to be up on the screen. We're going to work through about the first half of John 13 because I can think of no better place to begin a discussion on being in the tarantula den, to being the serving kind of people that we were intended to be. So the chapter starts this way, and it says, it was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Some translations at that moment say he showed the full extent of his love. The evening meal was in progress. And the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. If you're one of those people that underline this section in verse 5, began to wash his disciples' feet. Began to wash his disciples' feet. Let me set the scene for you here. Jesus and his followers have entered into Jerusalem in preparation for the Passover festival, meaning that there are thousands upon thousands and thousands of extra people pouring into the city of Jerusalem for the Passover. When Jesus and his followers came into the city, it was what is often called the triumphal entry. Palm Sunday, he comes in on a donkey. People are waving branches. People are going nuts. The disciples are watching all this going, wow, Jesus is taking this to a whole nother level. They had no idea how true that statement is. That week, he is teaching in the temple courts, and he is teaching aggressively and powerfully. And then they come to this meal in the upper room where they are staying, and Jesus starts taking off his outer clothing, grabs a towel, and assumes the position and role of a servant. Here's the thing you need to know about Jesus in this context. Jesus was constantly doing scandalous things. Jesus was constantly doing scandalous things. He was healing on the Sabbath. He was interacting with undesirable people and people groups. He was in the habit of calling Yahweh, the God of all creation, the Holy of Holies, Abba, which could be translated as daddy. And he was often comforting the afflicted while afflicting the comfortable. This is what Jesus was doing over and over again. He was constantly doing scandalous things, and now he was doing this. He was disrobing and taking the position and role of a servant. Story continues. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." And I love how thick Peter can be. Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." And I love how enthusiastic Peter can be. I love the character of Peter in the scriptures because it reminds me a lot of me, because I can be really thick. I long to be enthusiastic for what Jesus is doing. Jesus answered, "Those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean. And you are clean, though not every one of you, for he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet." I'm going to repeat that. "Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." Again, if you are one that underlines in your Bible, I'd encourage you to underline this line, verse 15, "I have set an example that you should do as I have done for you." Jesus sets the example. Last week, if you were here, we talked about the fact that a disciple, we want to be followers of Jesus. A follower is a disciple, and a disciple is an apprentice. A disciple is not one who learns from the master by sitting in a classroom and taking notes. No, an apprentice is one that's in the workshop, that is watching what the master craftsman is doing, and then imitates it. And when you were, if you were here last week, this line from Eugene Peterson is a good reminder. Peterson writes, "Being a disciple means we are people who spend our lives apprenticed to our master, Jesus Christ. We are in a growing, learning relationship always. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. I have set for you an example that you should do as I have done for you." I have set an example of what you should do. Well, obviously, Jesus isn't speaking literally here, is he? You know, this is just purely figurative language about how we are to be a serving people. Right? Wrong? Yes? No? Yes? There are two things that take place in the upper room. Communion and foot washing. We take the first one literally. Look, he says that we're supposed to do communion, so we take communion. We already did in this service. But when it comes to the foot washing part, we go, oh, no. He was just speaking figuratively there. Why was he speaking literally there and not here? Why is it that we get so weirded out by the idea of foot washing? Is it simply because it's a foot thing and we got feet issues? Or is it because we like the idea of humbling ourselves and serving more than actually humbling ourselves and serving beyond our comfort zone? Obviously, when Jesus is speaking here and he says, "I have set an example for you," he's speaking about more than literal foot washing. But I will argue to the day I die that it is a mistake for the church to conclude that when Jesus talks about foot washing, it's only figurative. But he's obviously speaking about something bigger than what takes place right here. Jesus is calling his followers to be a serving kind of people. If you get to the end of the chapter, Jesus has gone through all this. There's been a conversation that takes place. And then he says, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." Again, if you're an underliner, just underline this. By this. By this. Jesus says, by this, people will know that you are my disciples. By the fact that we are loving, people will know that we are disciples, that we are followers. Greek word for love in this context is agape. Best definition of agape I've ever heard is to intelligently and intentionally do what is best for the people around you. Intelligently and intentionally doing what is best for the people around you. A new commandment I give you, Jesus says. Intelligently and intentionally do what is best for the people around you. As I have intelligently and intentionally done what is best for you, so you are to intelligently and intentionally do what is best for the people around you. And by this, not by your mission statement, not by your belief statement, not by the songs you sing or the church building that you go into, not by the Bible studies or by the frequency of your prayers. All good things, but Jesus is saying, that's not by which you will be identified as followers of mine when you intelligently and intentionally love people. When you become a tarantula and a frog, then the people around you will know that you are my disciples. Mother Teresa once said that people are unrealistic, illogical, and self-centered. Love them anyway. People are unrealistic, illogical, and self-centered. Love them anyway. Which takes us to marriage. when I go and do weddings, there's a couple things that I will routinely say. One is, weddings don't impress me, anniversaries do. And I say that at every wedding I've ever done. But oftentimes, and this happened this summer when I was doing Jim and Wendy's son's wedding, is as we talked about, okay, what does it take to have a healthy marriage? Because it's not about the wedding, it's about the marriage. And what does it take to have a healthy marriage? And oftentimes, I will speak out of the fifth chapter of Ephesians. In the fifth chapter of Ephesians, it says this, picking verse 22 and 25, and it says, wives, submit to your husbands. Okay, and I'll look at the bride, and I'll say, hey, this is not real popular language in today's culture. It's not popular language at all. But just because something is uncomfortable or not popular doesn't mean that we get to ignore it. The scriptures say, wives, submit to your husbands. So I look at the bride on a wedding day, and I say, this is what you're supposed to do for your husband, is submit. And then I will ask the bride, I go, what is the physical position of submission? Is it not down on your knees? I go, that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to be getting down on your knees before your husband and submit to him. And about this time, I always make a comment to the groom and all the groomsmen who are loving the sermon at this point. It's like, oh, I like this guy. I go, hey, here's the problem. We read this and we stop, either because we don't like it or we like it too much. And we stop right there. But you got to keep reading, because a couple verses later, it says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church. And I turn, I look at the groom and I say, you are supposed to love as Christ loved, and when did Jesus show the full extent of his love? If your answer is on the cross, you'd be theologically correct. But according to the 13th chapter of John, when did Jesus show the full extent of his love? It was in the upper room the night before his crucifixion, when he did what? Washed the disciples' feet. And I look at the groom and I say, what is the physical position required to wash feet? Is it not down on your knees? And there you have a biblical picture of what healthy marriage is supposed to look like. Two individuals serving one another, not one serving and one lording over the other. Two individuals down on their knees, frogs and tarantulas. The frog and the tarantula understand this. They live this way. And it works. What would our marriages, what would our homes, what would our communities look like if we lived the same way? If we were intelligently and intentionally doing what was best for the people around us always? What if we were actually following the example of Jesus and living that way with other people? I tell you what, our homes and our communities would be transformed. Here at Community Covenant Church, we desire to be more than simply believers in Jesus. We want to follow Jesus. And when we ask the question, how do we do that in our context, we say, you know what, we can narrow it down to three words: connecting, growing, and serving. This is how we follow Jesus. We want to connect with God and with one another. We want to grow closer to God and grow closer to the people around us. And we want to serve Christ by serving the people around us. And there are multiple ways to serve. Multiple ways. But here at Community Covenant Church, we've identified a handful of ways that are, we've got easy on-ramps for you to get onto the serving freeway, okay? First is this, Parker Whitney School. We are directly across from Parker Whitney Elementary School. And I will routinely say this, at the end, if you call yourself part of Community Covenant Church, at the end of every school year, you should be able to easily identify how you have blessed them. God has put us here and them there for a reason, not by accident. And so we seek to serve them. And there are lots of ways that we do that. We do cookies for them because the parking lot is used by the parents that pick up the kids. If you ever hear about 2:30 on a school day, the parking lot is packed, which is awesome. And every other Tuesday, we give cookies and juice to the kids. 2 weeks ago, I was just sitting there. It was kind of windy, so I'm holding down the easy up so it doesn't become a big kite. And I got a little clicker. We served over 70 kids that day. We get to do that every other week. We adopt teachers and classrooms. And our goal is always to adopt every teacher over there. And we're almost there. We're one short. There's one teacher over there that's not adopted yet by someone in this church. And I'm going to pick on Bob and Mary Wells, who are right back over there, because you guys became my heroes about a week ago. They're two of the people, they didn't know I was going to do this. They have adopted one of the teachers over there. Now, when Angie was up front a little bit ago, she said, hey, put down prayer requests, and we pray. Well, guess what? Those get sent out on the email if you want it to be shared in the congregation, and the congregation prays. This last week, an email went out. There was a request from Bob and Mary because they became aware of a need that their teacher had. And they asked the entire congregation to pray for their teacher. And I thought, well done, Bob and Mary. You guys became my adopt-a-class heroes that day. So well done. These are some of the things that we do. We have, last year in October, we did a trunk or treat. It became a way, hey, we can interact with the community. So we were talking as a staff, well, how are we going to do that this year? Conrad, who is one of our interns, works with 5th and 6th grade as well as our high school ministries. He goes, excuse me, why are we putting on a big thing? Chances are they're already putting on something. Why don't we ask them if we can help them? Good question. We asked. They're doing a fall festival on the 19th of October. And so we asked them, hey, you need any help? We'd like to help. And the public school across the street from the church said, yes, church, please come into our school and help. It's a tarantula den. In lots of different ways. But here's the good news. If you're looking for a place to serve, it's there. They're inviting us in. They have a choir over there. That's really good. And they have a couple big performances each year. And we called them last year and said, hey, do you guys have a need to have a place to do a dress rehearsal before your big shows? And the choir director, oh, yes. And so we invited, you can come do it here. Two times last year, their choir came here. All the parents of those kids that had to pick them up from school anywhere were suddenly here. We're doing it again this year around for their big Christmas program. And when you hear about it, come, because we fill this place to listen to those kids and be next to those parents. And those parents are looking around going, who are these people? We're tarantulas and frogs. This is what we do. Hey, I'm going to need Doug Osella. Can you stand up for a second, Doug? Doug and his wife, Hilvey, head up our ministry for Parker Whitney. If you want to be more involved, maybe this is your tarantula den and you just haven't stepped into it yet, Doug is going to be out at the serving wall after the service. He's also going to have signups if you want to help out on the fall festival over there. Stop by, talk to him. His wife will be out there too. They can answer questions for you. So thanks, Doug. One of the other ways that we serve around here is the Gathering Inn. If you're not familiar with the Gathering Inn, it's this really unique special ministry for the homeless in the greater Rockland-Roseville community. And four times a year, whenever there's a fifth Wednesday, we host them. And there'll be about 70 or so homeless people that come in. And we don't simply feed and give them a place to sleep. No, we throw a party for them. And Susie Baxter, can you stand up, Susie? Susie heads up our ministry for the Gathering Inn. And this church is a tremendously generous church, but we tend to be a tremendously late signing up church. And so, hey, for Wednesday nights, we usually sign up on Tuesday afternoon, which is brutal for anyone running a ministry. So Susie is going to be right out there at the serving wall. And if you want more information about the Gathering Inn, stop by. The next time we're doing it is the last Wednesday of November, which means it's coming right off of Thanksgiving, feeding right into Christmas. We're going to throw a big Christmas party for them. Hey, go say, hey, I want to be one of the people that is part of this, or if you have any questions. And wouldn't it be cool if we had signups for something in November and October? It would be the first time this church has ever done anything like this. But stop by, talk to Susie afterwards. Thanks, Susie. Another way that we serve around here is in Mexicali. This church has had a partnership with some villages outside of Mexicali for 25 plus years. And we do two trips a year. We do a fall trip and we do a spring trip. The spring trip tends to be student ministries with adults that partner together. They do construction. They do prayer walks. They do VBS. They do prison ministry. They put on a service for youth from all three of the villages. It's an amazing thing. The fall trip's a little different. The fall trip's actually taking place this week. And there's a handful of us that are going down. The fall trip is different. We go down and we meet with the pastors from those three villages. We do a little construction, but really the primary thing that we do there is we meet with those pastors because we ask them, what is God doing in and through your churches? It is the height of arrogance for people like us to just go down there to tell them what they need, as if God's not already at work there. So we want to find out what God's already doing. How can we help? We want to come down as humble servants. And so we go down and we ask them, we go, hey, last spring, how did it work? What did we do well? What could we have done better? Hey, what's going on in your churches? How can we serve this year? And we put together our spring trip based upon what God is already doing down there. And we have a team that's leaving Thursday morning at 4 a.m. and driving down to Mexicali. If you're part of that team, would you please stand up? I'm going to keep standing because I'm going down. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you to pray for us. And so we're just going to have a moment of silent prayer. Pray for us. We tend to pray, you know, when we go on trips, you know, pray for safety. Safety's good, but I'd rather have significance, that the time would be used well. So if you would just silently pray for the people that are going down. We leave Thursday morning. We get back Monday night. We also have a team of three coming from another covenant church that's going to meet up with us on the way down, that is looking at the possibility of a partnership with us as we continue to minister to those three villages. So there'll be three more going as well. So let's have a time of silent prayer for the people going, and then we'll keep moving. Father, thank you for hearing our prayers. Amen. Hey, Paul Hills is in the back. If you have any questions about Mexicali, he's going to be out by the serving wall. You can talk to him. One of the other ways that we serve is through missionary support and encouragement. Each month, our missions team selects a missionary to be kind of the missionary of the month so that we can be more intentional about caring for and learning about that missionary. There are a ton of missionaries that we support, and we can do that in so many ways. Dale, where's Dale? Dale, can you stand up? This is Dale Solberg, and he heads up our missions team. He has a great team around him. He's going to be out at the serving wall. And if you want more information about how to encourage or information about the missionary, do that. And whenever you come in on a Sunday, take a look at the serving wall. That missionary's image or something about their ministry will be up on the wall, as well as next to it, a handout that gives you more information. It's a great way for us to be tarantula and a toad. It works. And then finally, there are missionary ministry teams, lots of ministry teams that it's a great way to serve. We've got Linda. Linda, go ahead and stand up. She does children's ministry. Conrad, go ahead and stand up. Representing student ministries. Lee Bolger, representing properties. Ruth, I'm going to have you stand up. If you've got any experience just working with anything in an office, or maybe you like social media, you're good at it, an awful lot is on her shoulder. We're trying to take some of that off. They're going to be out there. Stop by, ask them. And there are multiple other ministries, our deaconesses, our elders. There are so many ministries here. And if you stop by the connecting wall, Justin, I'm going to have you stand up, Justin, if you don't already know who Justin is. Justin's going to be over at the connecting wall. There is a full list of every ministry team out there with the contact person. Stop by. Because the question becomes this morning, where is your tarantula den? Where is it? Where is your tarantula den? When you came in this morning, this was on your seat. So I need you to grab it, because here's what I'm going to ask you to do. On the top, it says, where, how are you currently serving? It might have been one of the things I just talked about. And you might be thinking, boy, this sermon was really just an announcement. No. It wasn't. We take serving seriously. And because we take it seriously, we want to provide an actual way for you to step into it so that it's not simply a New Year's resolution. It's like, oh, this is what we wish, but we have no plan of action. No, we've got a plan of action for you. Where, how are you currently serving? Write that down. It might have been one of the things I mentioned. It might have been something outside of here. If you're a teacher, guess what? You're serving. Maybe your job you view as a very missional opportunity, and that's where you're serving. It's more than simply a job and a paycheck. You see it as your mission place. Write that down. You might list your 3-2-1 relationships. That might be the place that you are serving. How and where are you currently serving? Where's your tarantula den? Because to say you're a follower of Jesus but don't serve is an oxymoron. Jesus serves. He says, I have set an example for you. Do the same thing. And then, next one, where, how could you potentially serve? Where's the tarantula den that maybe God's calling you into? It might have been one of the things we talked about this morning. And all of you that have spider issues, every time I say it, you just go, ugh. Oh, trust me, it gets worse. And then on the bottom, it says name. Yes, put your name on it. Because we want to help you do this, and you're going to be turning this in a few moments, and when the office gets it, they're going to see your name next to a place you want to serve. If we can help you actually do that, we're going to put you in contact with that person because we actually want to help you do that. But here's what we're going to do next. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. And they're going to come up, and they're just going to play a little bit of music. And as they're playing the music, I'm going to leave the foot washing bin right here. Take your card that you just filled out. Bring it forward. Place it in the foot washing bin. The symbolism is rich. We've been called to do this. So go ahead and come on up. If you have difficulty getting up and moving around, hand it to someone at the end of the row. Put a hand up. Maybe one of our ushers can see a hand. Or if you're near somebody with a hand, go ahead and grab it. And while they play, we're going to take the first step towards serving, and then we'll do a little bit of singing.